This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
The Earth and its humans are unsettled as we enter Radio EcoShock this week. This past week, the strongest tropical cyclone ever to hit land arrived in the Philippines, well south of the capital of Manila. Meteorologist and former NSA storm chaser Jeff Masters quotes the U.S. Navy satellite estimating land speed winds of 190 to 195 miles per hour. Remember when the United Nations climate scientists warned of more violent storms? Well, here we are. Super Typhoon Haiyan hit with the force you'd expect in a tornado, but a tornado 600 kilometers or 372 miles in diameter. It's a giant. I posted some links in my Radio EcoShock blog at ecoshock.info. Take a look. It's a frightening storm on a small planet and another excursion into the new climate of planet Earth.
Fire, flood, tsunamis, quakes, what a difference apocalypse makes.
I know, as individuals, we feel so small. What can we do? All around us, the blissful crowd is getting ready for a shopping extravaganza. Our Thanksgiving demands an eruption in the malls. It will transfer more species and toxic materials into our closets, garages, storage units, and landfills. We'll celebrate the Christian holiday with another giant burst of carbon into the overloaded atmosphere. In this program, Dave Gardner gives you options, including a free viewing of his influential film, Growthbusters. Then the man all the advertisers and banks don't want you to hear, the Reverend Billy Talon from the Church of Stop Shopping, makes a brilliant speech recorded for Radio EcoShock at the Chicago Great Lakes Bioneers Conference in 2013 that just happened. Billy tells us the cost of direct action to save the planet. His sermon is delivered while the police waited to arrest him. The government, pretending to represent the people, wanted to toss Billy in prison for a direct action at the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank in New York. The bank, he says, is the biggest climate destruction financier on the planet. I've recorded a lot of speeches. This is one of the best. Don't miss it. All the music you will hear in this show is by the Church of Stop Shopping Choir. After a century of consumer shopping and growing cities, are we happier? Really? Dave Gardner has been a filmmaker for both public television and corporate clients. He is based in Colorado Springs and ran for office there. We know him from his popular movie, Growthbusters. Dave, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, big banks, giant corporations, big government, they always tell us growth is the answer. Now, you've added a new dimension, I think, the way our local municipalities are part of that game. What did Colorado Springs promise, and then what did it deliver? Big question.
Well, it is. It's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that because, as you know, we're encouraged to think globally but act locally. So whenever I'm thinking about how we're going to have a sustainable planet, I always look at our communities, and I figure if they're not behaving sustainably, we'll never get there. And what I've observed in researching the Growthbusters documentary and long before that and long after finishing the film is that cities are among the worst of the growth addicts. I don't know that they promise themselves something, but they do subscribe to the promise of growth. They have bought into this myth that if a city isn't growing, it's dying, and that somehow growth is going to solve the problems. It'll make it easier to balance the city budget. There'll be economies of scale. And I suppose, you know, back when we were settling the wild frontier, there was some truth to that. But once you fill up the planet, the economies of scale stop working.
Municipalities are strapped for cash, Dave. Some are cutting services, or even a few are going bankrupt. Do they have any alternative to more highways and more building permits?
Well, they need to. They absolutely must embrace alternatives, because really what they're, if they don't, they're just trying to prop up a Ponzi scheme. What growth does for a city is it brings in a little bit of quick cash to pay for the sins of the decade before. With a Ponzi scheme, the only way you can pay your investors is by bringing in new investors to make it look like you are somehow making profitable investments. And that's exactly what's going on at the municipal level, certainly throughout North America and even in many other parts of the world, that cities, they sort of have the illusion that growth is making things better. But over the long haul, why are they out of cash? They're out of cash because the costs of growth are a lot higher. So the alternatives are, they're still being explored, but there are a lot of good models out there, transition towns looking at different ways of organizing economies to focus more on meeting the needs of the people. That's really what the community needs to be focused on is, how do we become really efficient so that our citizens' needs are met without burning any more fossil fuels than necessary, which would run up the cost if we do. How do we stop destroying the ecosystems that are near us that we're going to depend on more and more in the future when we can't afford to ship products and food in from farther away? I think once cities really start experimenting with these models, they'll discover pretty quickly that their bank account isn't being depleted.
Let's talk briefly about some of the voices questioning growth, as found in your film Growthbusters. Can you give us a couple of examples of people that we should tune into?
Well, some of them have been around a long, long time, and I'm pretty quick to gravitate toward them. I think just because they're old doesn't mean that they're irrelevant. They're certainly wise. And so I'm thinking of people like Dennis Meadows, who became one of my heroes when I researched the film. Dennis was the man at MIT who led a group of researchers and scientists in doing the first computer modeling to figure out whether growth was going to work out well for our culture. They looked at economic throughput and population growth, and they didn't predict the future, but they ran a number of scenarios that would sort of give us a picture of what life might be like if we behaved this way or that way. And their famous business as usual scenario showed a lot of collapse happening in the first half of this century. And this is a study that they did back in about 1970. They released the results in 1972, and it's amazing how accurate that business as usual scenario has been. So Dennis has spent most all of his adult life trying to wake us up and alert us to the fact that we don't have to go down this road. We don't have to head right off the cliff, which is what it looks like we're doing. There are other ways to organize our lives, other holy grails to worship.
Well, speaking of worship, just recently the Reverend Billy Talon from the Church of Stop Shopping was arrested again. What do you think of his work?
You know what? I adore him. I missed the news that he had recently been arrested. I've been tied up in a planning retreat for the last 5 days. But the film about the Reverend Billy, What Would Jesus Buy, I think is just an absolute treasure. And I would highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen that watch it, because he's actually in a very humorous way trying to kind of point out the folly of worshiping consumerism, shopping more, buying more. We're finding out that isn't the road to happiness.
Well, sure enough, Dave Gardner, soon we'll have the Holy of Holies for retailers, the American shopping extravaganza known as Black Friday. People go delirious for a deal. For listeners in other countries, what is Black Friday and what is wrong with it?
Well, Black Friday has, for the last decade, been the busiest shopping day of the year in the United States. It is the day after the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, and for a few decades, several decades, the retailers have put on big sales to really get people out, start the holiday shopping season off with a bang. And the thing that I find most interesting about it is that the news media really watch that. I mean, that's almost all you get from the business journalists during that day and the days leading up to Black Friday and the days following it. Are you get reports on whether retailers are optimistic that this year consumers are going to go out and spend more at the mall than they did last year. We have a system that depends on that happening. I know that Canadians don't celebrate Thanksgiving on the same day of the year, but they kind of were watching what we were doing, and Canadian retailers, I believe, eventually started offering big Black Friday sales in Canada. My understanding is that in Europe, the big shopping kickoff for the holiday season is actually on the last Saturday of the month. So it's the day after Black Friday over here. It's almost like a religious holiday. It is the day that in many places around the world, we actually worship shopping.
Well, it is kind of a religious holiday, and we have a real religious holiday coming up with the birth of Christ, Christmas, and that's another binge of slashing down forests and getting rid of species, plus a big burst of carbon into our atmosphere. I wonder, have you ever heard of anybody calculating or trying to figure out the impact of Christmas shopping on this planet?
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because I should probably be looking hard for that, since I'm trying extra hard this year to draw some attention to the lunacy that is Black Friday and shopping in general. In fact, we're going to make the Growthbusters documentary available free around the world on Black Friday and on the Saturday following, just in order to kind of raise awareness of the fact that shopping isn't the answer. But I do not know. I do not have the data at my fingertips about how much impact there is just from that one day of shopping. But there's plenty of evidence out there that, you know, that we've filled up the planet, and that at the current level of affluence and consumption in the world, in which many billions of people aren't living the so-called good life that we in North America are, we're using up the planet's resources faster than the planet can regenerate them. So something has to be done.
So how can people see your film for free?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to make it free every day of the year, but this makes it kind of a special event. We decided after Thanksgiving in the U.S., which is a big family holiday, instead of heading off to the mall, wouldn't it be nice to hang out with the family, stay home, stay out of the car, play some games, have some good conversations, and then stop, flop, and watch. Just, you know, sit back on the couch and access the movie on the internet, watch the film with your family, pop some popcorn, and I guarantee you it'll generate some very stimulating family conversations.
So does that come from growthbusters.org or from YouTube, or where do they tune in?
What they need to do is they need to visit growthbusters.org, and there's a big button on the homepage called Free Black Friday Screening. And you just need to click on that button, and there's a sign-up form. You've got to sign up, but it won't cost you a nickel, and you don't get spammed or anything. And we're hoping to have hundreds, if not thousands, of people around the world for these two screenings. We're going to do two so that people don't have to stay up in the middle of the night if they're in Europe or Asia. And we're planning to have a live chat during the film for people that, you know, have attention deficit disorder, and then and have me available for a chat after the film to have some good questions and answers.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with American filmmaker and anti-growth activist Dave Gardner of Growthbusters. Dave, the advertising cartel has turned every social event into an excuse to shop. It's St. Valentine's Day, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduation. The list just goes on and on. If we don't express our love and our lives with more gifts, we don't care. That's the message. What can we do to counter that mass media machine?
Well, it's even bigger than the mass media. It's, you know, it's actually an economic system. We've built a system that absolutely depends on us buying more at the mall this year than we did last year. When you step back and think about it, it's just impossible. It's physically impossible for our civilization to carry that on forever. If we just had 3% annual economic growth, which is kind of a modest goal that's bandied about out there, that we would actually have an economy a billion times larger than today's in 720 years. Now, granted, none of us are going to be around in 720 years, but that's not that far down the road. And I think we can all agree that we can't have a billion times more, you know, pieces of junk being purchased at the mall and thrown into the landfill the following, you know, 6 months later, which I think is the average lifespan of most of this junk that we're buying. But there are a lot of people around the world who have a tradition of gift giving around whatever holiday they're celebrating at the end of the year. And you don't have to do away with that. In fact, my family's been experimenting for years, and we found some really fun ways that are more fun than just exchanging gifts that people bought at the mall. We've agreed not to go buy something new, and so we end up re-gifting some white elephants that we find in our closets, and that ends up kind of a good laughter generator. We make gifts for each other, and that means a lot more when you actually had to put your time into it. And we give the gift of time. In fact, I sometimes will give my mother a certificate promising her that I'll come over and spend so many hours or days at her house helping her out with some handyman projects that she can't help with. And there are numerous other very creative ways of actually getting back more in touch with what those traditions are all about.
I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, we have the popular TV show Hoarders, and that's just an extreme example of this packaged waste behind our shopping. And, you know, I think one way people could figure out what they're doing is to have to move, say, every 6 months, because we just made a move and we try and buy things used. We try not to participate in the consumer economy, just the way you were talking about. And I was still amazed at the amount of junk that we've accumulated. There must be some way that we can avoid transferring nature right into storage units and landfills.
Well, I have a hard and fast rule, no storage units. I refuse to rent storage space. But it is challenging because we have all grown up thinking that the world was our oyster and that we could consume with impunity. And that chicken's coming home to roost now, and we've got to figure out a better way. You know, living in a large house is somewhat wasteful, and that's a big heating those houses, air conditioning those big trophy houses is a big contributor to greenhouse gas emissions and climate change. And so downsizing the place you live is a good way to make a contribution both in the climate change arena and to sort of force yourself to stop buying all that junk because you've got no place to put it.
I remember after 9/11 that George Bush had told the American people to get out and shop as a way to save the economy. And we've been told up to 70% of the American economy is based on shopping. What happens if we stop? Will the pension funds all go bust? Will Wall Street crash? What happens?
Well, we need to find out. Certainly, you know, we have built a system that depends on it. So it's not going to be a gorgeous, elegant shift as we get away from doing all that shopping. However, if you think about it, it's something we must do because let's say you are on a spaceship hurtling through outer space and it's a big ship with, hundreds of passengers and crew members. Would you make the decision to have the crew start disassembling the ship and selling parts of the ship to the passengers just so that they could have full employment and you would have a robust economy on that spaceship? I don't think you would. I think you'd say, no, I don't think we want our ship to be cannibalized and disappearing right out from under our feet. The Earth's a little bigger, so it's a little harder to envision those boundaries, and yet with over 7 billion people on the planet, that's where we are. We're just one big spaceship, and right now, when we go to the mall and prop up this unsustainable consumption-based, growth-based economic system, we're dismantling the ecosystems that we depend on for our life support. So we've got to make those changes, but we're going to have to be very creative to make sure that the pain is as minimal as possible, because certainly everyone around the world, we want them to have meaningful employment, and we want to have their needs met. But there are good people, people like Transition Towns, New Economics Foundation, New Economics Institute, who are all working on developing better models. And most of them, the best of them, I think, actually an important element of them is we get to work a lot less and relax a lot more. And that sounds pretty good to me.
And in addition to your film Growthbusters, you become a media activist for sure. You swoop down on unsuspecting people with startling questions sometimes. For example, why were you handing out endangered species condoms?
Well, I did that for two reasons. One, of course, was just to bring attention to the fact that population growth and overpopulation contribute to habitat destruction. They contribute to a number of the environmental crises that we face. And so handing out an endangered species condom, one, is a good service because it makes that contraception available to somebody, makes it a little bit easier for them to make really responsible decisions about conceiving children. But it also is certainly a conversation starter, and that's why we filmed it. I've been amazed when I do that I find so many people who are really delighted that I'm doing that and really do understand that. Yeah, the world, you know, with over 7 billion people on the planet, the days of where you can have 4, 6, or 8 kids and be really thinking about their welfare as you do that are behind us. The most loving, compassionate thing you can do for your kids is to choose to have fewer of them. And it's kind of a tough subject for some people to talk about, so the condoms somewhat serve as an icebreaker. But the other reason I do it is to support one of the few environmental organizations out there that has the courage to say population growth, overpopulation, are the cause of species extinction and habitat destruction. And so we need to be thinking about that on Valentine's Day night or whatever other night you're feeling rather amorous.
You know, I think some of the things that I've seen of yours on YouTube or on your website suggest that really any of us could do this maybe with an iPhone or any kind of camera, get out there and then put it on YouTube. We could become media activists. Do you have any tips for people who would like to give that a try?
Well, you know, that is really true. It's really remarkably easy. From a technical standpoint, just, you know, get that phone close to the people you're talking to so that you get good audio. From a content perspective, you know, I find that I try to inject a little bit of humor into these things when I'm doing them because they are tough subjects. Some people are made uncomfortable, and I really try to respect anyone that doesn't want to have the conversation. I'm sad when that happens. But I also try to keep it pretty light and not be too judgmental because there are a lot of people out there who are not yet aware that the world is full, that we are consuming too much and that there's too many of us doing the consuming. So, you know, every citizen activist that's out there giving that a try, that's potentially their friends and neighbors may discover something that really wasn't at the top of mind before. So make a little video. You don't even have to edit it. You can upload it from your phone right to Facebook or YouTube and send me a link when you do that. I'd love to see what people are doing.
Cool. Well, is there anything else that you would like to talk about as we wrap up here?
Well, if you have a minute, I thought I might mention a new website that we launched this past summer called growthbiasbusted.org, where we're actually shining a spotlight on pro-growth bias in the media. It's pretty relevant when we're talking about Black Friday and consumerism and shopping, because that's when, you know, the news media really does whip us up into a shopping frenzy. And what we're doing at this website is every day we put the spotlight on a new news story or an editorial or commentary that we find out there that serves up this Kool-Aid, this pro-growth Kool-Aid that keeps us entrenched in, you know, last century's thinking about that growth is good. You know, all the reporting about economic forecasts and GDP, you know, what the latest quarter GDP did, none of the journalists, I don't want to say none, but it's very close to none of the journalists out there reporting on those topics ever seek out an economist who has an alternate view that GDP growth is actually bad news on a full planet. They assume that everybody universally applauds increasing economic throughput, which means decreasing resources out there, you know, pumping aquifers dry, pumping major rivers dry, turning forests into deserts. That's all celebrated as good news in the media. At growthbiasbusted.org, we're shining a light on that and hoping to actually wake up some of the journalists out there to the fact that there are some assumptions that they're basing their reporting on that need to be questioned and that there are other sources that they ought to talk to. I think over the next year, 2-3 years, we hope to see the reporting actually begin to change. Just invite the listeners to check it out. And you can actually vote on the stories. You can vote for the worst bias of the week. And you can actually even nominate stories that you find at the website.
I will put those links in my own show blog at ecoshock.info if you missed them. My guest is Dave Gardner. He is the movie maker who walked away from corporations to document the insanity of basing our lives on consumption and everlasting growth. You can check out his movie, his philosophy, and his activism at growthbusters.org. Dave, thank you for talking with us and for the fresh air you've been bringing.
My pleasure. Thanks for what you're doing.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. As you just heard, we are sunk so deep in the consumer culture, the economy will crash if we stop. But it will crash anyway, leaving a polluted world drained of natural life. Nobody warns us more clearly than the Reverend Billy Talon and his Church of Stop Shopping choir. We are going straight to Billy's speech at the Chicago Great Lakes Bioneers 2013. This recording was made for Radio EcoShock on November 2nd by Kelly Pierce of the Chicago Independent Media Center. While police waited to arrest Billy for exposing the role of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank financing global climate change, Billy called on the spirit of Hurricane Sandy, the violent storm that nearly drowned New York in late October 2012. This is a brilliant speech. Give it time, and you will be rewarded.
Black Friday officially kicking off the holiday shopping season now, but our next guest is on a quest, if you will, to get everyone to stop shopping now. We spoke with him last year. He's back, Billy Talon of the Church of Life After Shopping, here again with us this morning.
Senator, we don't know what the hell we're doing. I gotta just level with you. We have no idea what we're doing. A few weekends ago, thousands upon thousands of natural scientists from around the world issued a report all at once. Like a 5,000 voice scientist choir. They sang to us through the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The IPCC report came out that first weekend of the General Assembly. Sandy, you should have come through again right then. We needed to hear those people. They are the people that are taking the ice core samples, and they're in the forests getting the pulse of the roots, and they're down in the coral reefs, and they love this planet. Study it all their lives. And they got together, and they tried to say something to us all at once. About the life we're living here, and the life that our children and our grandchildren, and the life of all living things, about this wet blue ball whipping around in space with its beautiful, beautiful clouds. Nobody noticed, because Miley Cyrus's ass got in the way. The devil. She had little devil horns, didn't she, when she was twerking? Didn't she? Am I right? Or did I just... Is it Halloween? Have I got Halloween on my mind? That wasn't just her. It was John Boehner, too, twerking. He was in the news. Could have been anybody, though. What are you going to do? Those scientists don't know how to speak English. Scientists and diplomats. The two most indecipherable groups of human beings you could come up with. And I got the most important thing to say. The earth had to come through them. The earth was the speaker. It was a message from thousands of one of the earth's sentient beings, a particular one, scientist humans. There was a gathering of most of those very scientists in San Francisco. By a near Alleluia, giving each other in some awful carcinogenic hotel somewhere, giving each other papers that only they can understand. But there's one person there who gave a paper that Naomi Klein wrote about, and the name of his paper, as complicated, as complex, with all the computer models and all the samplings around the world, a completely complex, learned piece of research by this, I think his name was Werner, Dr. Werner from San Diego. And it was just that the name of his paper was, "Is Earth And then he had a subtitle too. But he didn't dare. The U and the C and F were asterisks. Probably deep down, just a little bit bashful. Didn't want to say the word. And yet I can't seem to say it enough. Amen. Praise me. Because I'm that kind of preacher. And then it had a subtitle: Dynamic Futility of Global Environmental Management and Possibilities for Sustainability via Direct Action Activism.
This is Radio EcoShock. You are listening to the Reverend Billy Talon's sermon on direct action to save the planet. Stay tuned for the exciting conclusion.